Maybe someone who misunderstood one statement in the announcements a few moments ago concerning the Wednesday evening service. We will have one. We will meet in our classrooms as per usual and be dismissed to go home after our classes, because the Spanish Brethren will be holding a gospel meeting here in the auditorium. So I hope that clarified the statement a while ago that I caught, and I don't catch everything, but you know, we would not have a Wednesday evening service, but we will. So with that then behind us till Wednesday night, we want to get down to the study at hand right now. If you have your Bible handy, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we want to take a look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now you may be wondering, just what are we going to deal with in that little short verse? Well, there are several things that we could deal with in that verse, but I'm concerned about the word fellowship. The word fellowship. There are several things in this statement that give us some understanding that we ought to have. Well, I take the time to go into everything because I want to deal with the word fellowship. One thing in this verse concerning this fellowship, that is a statement made to whom the statement is to be applied. Now when we stop to think about the use of this word as we hear it continually throughout the religious world in particular, is that we must have fellowship. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But we must have the fellowship that God has designed, or God will not accept it. We all know that most all religious organizations today have either within its building or an adjacent building what they call a fellowship hall. You'll not find one on this location except right here. But this, what takes place in this hall, in this auditorium, is the fellowship we're going to be studying about in our study this morning. You will not smell coffee perking, and you'll not get hungry over the donuts. Those are not in any shape, form, or fashion mentioned by God in His text. Now there's another point I want to call to mind before we get a little deeper in this particular verse, and that is we also understand that there are a lot of folks who are Bible readers that don't know how to study the Bible. And so consequently, they miss the importance of the text. So when we are studying a word, we need to see how that word is used in the context. In our English language, again, we are aware of the fact that nearly all of the words have many or several different meanings. How are we to understand which meaning is to be applied in which context? Now, we do not know how to establish the meaning of that word contextually. We're going to get the wrong understanding of what the passage teaches. So it's very important then that we give some consideration to the meaning of words. First of all, if we watch the context carefully, the context will tell us how that word is to be used. If the context doesn't tell us how that word is to be used, then that word shouldn't be there. It's part of the context, and it's a very important part. But just to go a little deeper than the context, in finding out what we're being concerned about with the word fellowship, I looked it up in the Greek language. And in the Greek language, we find that word used a number of times in the New Testament. And it does have a variation of meaning. But when we study those variations of the meaning, we bring it down to a very simple understanding. Consider, if you will, joint participation. That's one of the words that we find in the definitions used from the Greek term. Joint participation. Well, now we can have joint participation in a lot of things, can't we? We have joint participation in a football game. But we'll not find a football game mentioned in God's Word. So that's not what God wants us to understand by the use of this term. We have to consider the context to see where that word is used, where we are commanded or taught to engage in a joint participation. Well, another word that also is in that is in the definition of fellowship. That's partnership. Partnership. Well, we may be partners in a lot of things too. But again, we've got to consider the context to see what God wants us to have a partnership in. That's what we're going to do in our study this morning. I have selected 7 passages of Scripture. And in these 7 passages, we find the word fellowship used in every way that the definitions describe it according to its context to use. Thereby, we may know what God expects of us when He commands us that we are to have fellowship. Now look back at our text passage. Read it again. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Number one, we find in this statement, of course, the word fellowship. But we also find in this statement who God holds responsible for this fellowship. There are several things in the context that could be pointed out, but there's one thing in particular under consideration, and that is those in Christ Jesus. But the question may be asked, just who is in Christ Jesus? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the context and see if the context will answer that question for us. In verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now, what's he talking about in Christ Jesus? The church of God. That's to whom the letter is addressed. And the letter carries to us God's will concerning our partnership or our joint participation in something. What are we to have this joint participation in? Whatever is in Christ Jesus. Do we get that? This partnership is to be in whatever is in Christ Jesus. By whom? By those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who make up the church that is called the church of God. And I might point out, for the sake of understanding, that Jesus is also called God in Revelation chapter 1. God the Father, speaking to His Son, calls Him God several times. But in addition to that, we find the writer of the book of Acts declaring unto us that it's God that shed His blood that is under consideration. Did Jehovah God shed His blood? Or did Jesus, the Son of Jehovah God, shed His blood? It was the Christ that shed His blood. So those in Christ make up the church under consideration. And this message, this command, for fellowship is to be to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's to me and that's to you, if we're in Christ Jesus. But, what is it to be in Christ Jesus? You will notice the record says in our text verse that those in Christ Jesus are those who are called. Another definition, you see. Those who are called are not given a responsibility. The responsibility is joint participation or a fellowship. But what is it? Being called. We hear some false teaching concerning being called. God called me. Never placed their eyes upon the book. God doesn't call anybody that way today. We read over in 1 Thessalonians, I think it's the second chapter, about verse 14, where we're called by the gospel. Called by the gospel. Now, in order for you to understand that, consider this. Back in 1941-42, we had a world war going. Uncle Sam needed men to fight in this war. And so, he called 18-year-old boys to fight in this war. Did he stand on a throne somewhere and yell out their name, calling them? Is that the way he called? No. How did Uncle Sam call those he wanted? Just exactly like God calls those he wants. Uncle Sam sent out a letter to every 18-year-old boy. And in that letter he says, I want you. Now how did God call the individuals to war? By letter. By letter. Well, God doesn't write out a letter like we would write out a letter today. He gave it to us through the Holy Spirit and through the apostles. And we have a book of letters. And we just read in the letter to the church at Corinth what God expects of us when it comes to this joint participation. So, let's look at these next six verses where we find the word fellowship and understand it in its contextual use, and by so doing, we then can place the false doctrine that we find in religion concerning fellowship halls and this sort of fellowship where it belongs in the kingdom of Satan. Now that doesn't mean that all fellowship belongs to the devil. Not at all. You can have fellowship in your home. And you do. Every time your family sits down to the table, you're having fellowship. You're having a joint participation. You're having a partnership. Therefore, you're having a fellowship. So, we're talking about the fellowship in religious connotation. We're concerned about it in God's connotation. Now, the next verse we want to look at, those who are called out, remember, are mentioned in our text passage. In Acts chapter 2, we find in verse 42 that there were some 3,000 individuals on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ that heard the gospel preached. God called them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some 3,000 individuals received that calling. They understood they were lost. And they asked men and brethren, what must we do? They were told what they must do. And some 3,000 of them gladly received that call and were baptized. They obeyed the call. And the record continued to say, and they continued, now watch it, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. There we see the word fellowship again, you see. Who did that? In verse 47, God added those who were being saved to the church. You see the connection already, don't we? talking about those who now had received God's call. They obeyed the gospel. And what were they doing? They were following the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching. They were steadfast. They were faithful. They were loyal in following what the apostles were teaching. The gospel for which Jesus Christ died. Those that the Lord added to His body, which is the church. Now, what were they doing when they had this fellowship? Well, first of all, they were continuing in the apostles' teaching. They were having this joint participation by listening, being instructed by these inspired apostles. Well, does that mean anything to us today? If the Lord has added us to His body by virtue of our obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then every time we come together and open the book to reason together, we're having fellowship. We're having a joint participation. And you can't have a better one than that. We're having a joint petition right now. Joint fellowship. Right now. In the study of the Word of God. Who is? Those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ being added by Him to His body, which is the church. So you see, we're commanded by apostolic example to have fellowship in Christ. Well, you may make the application to that. Are we having this kind of fellowship if we never open these letters from heaven? God's Word? How serious and concerned are we if indeed we do open the book and read and study, or at least read therefrom? You know, there are an awful lot of folks who will brag about reading the Bible, but when it comes to the study of the Bible, that, as the feller used to say, is a horse of a different color. That's not the same situation. We can read it from kibber to kibber. And I know a man, or knew a man, he's now gone to his reward, that could quote the Bible from cover to cover. But when it come to applying what he read, he couldn't do it. So we have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. So, that's what we must do in having joint participation or partnership in the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 1 at point number 3. 1 John chapter 1 and at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now you can't beat that one with a stick. Look at it again. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Who's speaking? The Apostle John. How did the Apostle John get that? From the Holy Spirit. He was inspired. So God sent His call to those to whom John penned these words, that we may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. How often do you stop and think of having fellowship or partnership with God and with His Son? If I was a gambler, I'd get rich on that statement, because I'm just as sure as I can possibly be that it's very rare probably very rare for most of us to stop and give consideration to the fact that we may be in partnership with God our Father. But if we're faithful to Jesus the Christ, we are having fellowship with God our Father. Why do you suppose that Jesus the Christ, and he's included in this verse, you see, why do you suppose that he left footprints for us to follow? Are we having fellowship with Jesus the Christ when we're walking in his footsteps? If we're not walking in his footsteps, we're not having a joint participation with him. We're not in partnership with him. See how important this word is? So in order for us then to be in partnership with Jesus the Christ and with the Father who sent him to prepare this way for us, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So then we must have this joint participation, this fellowship with Jesus Christ if we arrive to the Father. But we must give close attention to his calling. For in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we find not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of my Father, but he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What are we doing when we do the will of our Father which is in heaven? We're having a joint participation with him. We're having fellowship with him. If indeed we're seeking to follow his will, that heaven may be our eternal home after a while. Yes, if we're faithful, children of God, we are in partnership with God. Paul told the Corinthians that we must be fellow laborers with God, even as he was. He worked with God. He was in fellowship with God, and we too must be in fellowship with God if we want heaven to be our home after a while. We must seek his calling, be obedient to his will, in order to pass that eternal test when we stand before him in judgment. Yes, we're in partnership with our Heavenly Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ. But are we truly in fellowship with him when we decide to do things our own way? You know, there isn't anybody going to get to heaven their own way. Nobody's going to. Not even me. I'm not going to get there in my own way. My own way's nothing. My way must be to submit to God's way. Remember a passage quoted a moment ago when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the way, and we must then choose to follow him, have participation, a fellowship with our Lord. If heaven is to be our home after a while. Well, does that mean then that it's important for us to attend every possible service of his people? Yes, it does. But there's more than that that says it's important. I remember a statement that Jesus made as recorded by Matthew in Matthew chapter 18. When he said, "Were two or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them also." Jesus is here. We are assembled according to his divine authority. And whatsoever we do in this assembly must be in accord to his divine will. And if that be the case, Jesus is here. But if we choose to add the instrument of music to our worship, you suppose he stays here? No, because that's contrary to his will. And his when we enter into something contrary to his will, we have stopped our relationship with him. We're not in partnership with him. We're not in fellowship with Him. James tells us in James chapter 2, and I think about verse 10, if we offend in one point of the law, and instead of that word offend, it includes the word violate. So if we violate one point of the law, he says we're against the whole law. But the law says that we are to assemble ourselves, as we noticed a few moments ago. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we find where the disciples came together to break bread. The Apostle Paul with them. We have an apostle example of what God would have us to do. Come together on the first day of the week to break bread. I remember a number of years ago, first time I ever heard of such a thing. There was a group of people from a well-known college. It was a college then, it's a university today. But on Sunday, they took the Lord's Supper with them and went to the beach. Now, where do we find that pattern for the observing of the Lord's Supper in God's will? It isn't there. There is no fellowship with God and those people. Nary a bit. Because they were not doing the will of God. And you could just add to that. Add the instrumental music. And many other things that's going wild today in the religious world. Taking the place of what God has set before us in His will, in His Word, and folks think they're going to get to heaven without God. Because God's not with them when they're not walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, now that makes it pretty important, doesn't it? But then he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can that verse be obeyed in Hebrew chapter 10 verse 25? In the absence of fellowship? It's fellowship from one end to the other, isn't it? But there it's a positive command. So, do we think we can get to heaven when we want to miss the services on purpose whenever we so desire? Oh, I can get there on Sunday night, so it'll be all right to go fishing Sunday morning. Will God accept that kind of reasoning? No, because it's contrary to His will. And He doesn't accept anything that's contrary to His will. We must have fellowship with Him. That means we've got to abide by His will. And when we seek to disobey His will, we seek to have this partnership, this fellowship with God. Well, let's go down to another passage and see what we may find. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and about verse 9. And let's see what we find there. Galatians 2 and verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Well, now here's somebody, Paul, Barnabas received the handshake of fellowship. A handshake of fellowship. Joint participation. In what? Preaching the gospel to the heathen and to the Gentiles. Joint participation. Fellowship. Partnership. We may and we must encourage one another in our efforts to take the gospel to others, that they too may find what it is to enjoy the fellowship that we have in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of folks think they haven't, but they're going to have a wide awakening come the end of their life in that condition, because they will find that they made it there in the broad way that leads to destruction. And its destiny is not heaven. It's that place is described as burning with fire and brimstone. It's described as that place where the devil and all of his angels will be there. That's not going to be the fellowship that anybody wants. But it's going to be the fellowship eternally that an awful lot of folks is going to receive, because they reject God. So we need to encourage one another in this relationship. And that's what we read here in Galatians chapter 1. How much encouragement do you lend to others when you decide you don't want to attend the Bible studies or the worship services, where you have the responsibility of encouraging and being encouraged, but you choose not to? How much fellowship are you lending to somebody else? How much encouragement? That scares me to even think about that. Because if I willfully absent myself from the services where the Lord said that He would be, that is a discouragement, not an encouragement to others. I've heard folks say, well, if Brother so-and-so does that, why can't I? Why can't I? Is that the kind of light you want to shine to somebody else? If you choose not to worship the Lord, to honor the Lord, to obey the Lord, do you want somebody else following your footsteps? That's the kind of influence that you lend to somebody else. And it's a very, very serious matter indeed. But in order to keep our time, we must get on to the book of Philippians and look at another example. In Philippians chapter, I can get it here, chapter 2 rather, and verse 1. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there is therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, having being of the same accord, and of the same mind. Now there's a whole lot that we could just take a whole lot of time to deal with in those two verses. A whole lot. But I'm sure by virtue of the foundation laid in our study thus far, you see the importance of it, of having this fellowship that's under consideration. And he goes on down in adding to this in verse 5, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. See how close that oneness becomes? The mind of Christ. Do you have the mind of Christ in your mind? Well, I want you to think about it. If you don't, how healthy is your fellowship with Christ if you don't have His mind in you? But somebody wants to know, what is it to have His mind in them? Here it is. Here it is. Put it in your mind. Study it. Apply it to yourself. Determine you're going to live by it. You're going to walk by it. You're going to heaven by it. That's what is involved in having the mind of Christ in us. And that's going to allow us and encourage us to be of the same mind and to speak the same thing. Now, if you decide you want a fellowship with some religious organization somewhere that is not having this fellowship with God, are you going to have the same mind there, speaking the same thing, having a joint participation together, spiritually when they're not spiritual? Yes, this is a serious matter, and I want you to see just how serious. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. And we couldn't deal with fellowship without coming to this passage. There's just no way. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath this temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Well, I just could not think of a better passage to bring our lesson to a conclusion upon that. How could we misunderstand it? It is absolutely so plain, and it adds up all these six verses that preceded it in our study this morning, didn't it? Can we not hear God calling us to separate ourselves from ungodliness and to prove ourselves unto Him in striving to be godlike? That's what He wants. That's what He sent His Son to die for. And yet there are those who reject that great sacrifice and the One who gave it, the Son of God, who died to make this fellowship possible. Do you have fellowship, truly fellowship, with the Father, with the Son, and with those who are in this spiritual relationship? If not, you can before you leave this building this morning. If indeed you like those in the second chapter of the book of Acts that entered that assembly, unbelievers, they consented to the crucifixion of Christ. But now we find them, after hearing the Word of God, hearing the truth, become believers. They believed what they heard. They believed indeed that was the Son of God that they consented to His crucifixion. Now, loaded down with this sin, what are we going to do about it? If you're not in Jesus Christ, my friend, you need to consider what they were considering. If you're not in Jesus Christ, what's going to happen to me? What am I going to do about it? Do exactly what they did. They turned away from that past condition, that past life. They wanted Jesus to be their Lord and their Savior. They submitted to the waters of baptism for their washing away of their sins in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. They were raised therefrom to walk in a spiritual life, a new life, a life in Christ Jesus, a life as a son or daughter of God, there to enjoy this fellowship that is so powerful and so pleasant. Are you in Christ? That's the way you get there. If you are in Christ, how is your fellowship with God this morning? Are you enjoying a peaceful, loving fellowship with God, with His Son, with the Holy Spirit, and with all those other brothers and sisters who are also under this responsibility? If there is something amiss in your life or standing between you and the receiving of this fellowship, why don't you clear the slate this morning? We're told in John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that if we will repent of our sins, God will forgive us. And you have the opportunity of doing that right now, as together we stand and say,